Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
Oh man, are you going to love today's episode?
You know, a rose by any other name is still a rose.
Oh, do you know where we're going with this?
Huh?
We're going to be talking about church names today.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And boy, do we have a lot to say. We all have a lot to say about that. We're probably going to get in a lot of trouble this one. I know we are.
This may be the last podcast.
It could be. Could be listening. You're listening to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. I want to point that out. Mark Clifton. It's his podcast.
I'm Dan Hurst. Not Mark Allen.
And Mark Halleck is with us, and Kyle Bierman is over there filling out his resume. We're just going to be talking about something that is really a hot spot with a lot of churches. So, Mark Clifton, it's your idea to do this one. Why?
I try not to be a curmudgeon. I really try not to be a curmudgeon, but sometimes I fail, and I can get a little curmudgeon-y with church names because I see them all the time. Right?
Yeah.
And when people change the name of their church, they never change it to, I don't know, Calvary or Trinity, you know, or anything, or to, you know, 12th Avenue. They change it to something sometimes so generic and so unclear what this means.
Trendy?
You think trendy?
Might I say trendy?
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to talk about church name. Now, you need to know that for, I don't know, for 50 or 60 years, Tom Rainer and I were on a podcast together, and we disagreed with about this the whole time. He was much more open to the idea of changing churches' names. In case you haven't realized it, I am not much open to the idea of changing churches' names.
I'm probably in middle ground.
You're probably middle ground.
I'm probably middle ground.
Right. And I'm not. You know, I don't. If you do, you know, that's fine. We'll still be friends. That's okay.
Well, but the church I'm in right now decided to change their name because apparently Baptist Church wasn't good enough. And so the whole church was up in arms, you know, it was a big discussion.
Yeah.
And I said one time, here's what we do. How about if we just name the church after you? This is Bill's church. This is Linda's church. If this became Bill's church, would anybody come to it?
Uh-huh.
If this was Linda's church, would any of your friends come to it? So that's where we start a new name. If you want to get serious about it.
But well, here, number one.
Come on.
Let me get my papers.
All right.
I got them right here.
You ready?
I got them. I wrote these out last night.
That's right.
Number one. The unchurched community simply doesn't care what the name of your church is.
Truth.
I mean, come on.
So true.
You got somebody out there who's
depends on what you name it.
You got somebody out there whose child is addicted to opioids, someone whose loving spouse has just got a cancer diagnosis, and they're looking for hope. They don't care what your church's name is.
That's the truth.
You've got
somebody
who doesn't know Jesus, and you encounter them in the coffee shop, and you start a conversation with them. They don't care church's
name is. They don't care. They don't know, and they don't care.
And people say, maybe Baptist has a bad connotation. Well, change it. Change the connotation, and everything has a bad connotation.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you change your church's name to, let's say, Crossroads, the unchurched people don't know that your crossroads is not connected to the crossroads across the road, right? So the crossroad across the road could have some major problem with, abuse.
Yep.
And they think, well, that's a crossroad church, so I'm not going to there. So don't even start on the idea that the community, the name needs to change to reach the unchurched.
Yeah, that is so good. I have never met anybody, any lost person, who said, man, you had such a cool church name. And I just had to check it out.
Or you have such a cool name now.
That I got to check it out. Like you said, they don't care. What they care about is, hey, you know what? You were so kind to me in the coffee shop, you did my grandmother's funeral, and it wasn't super weird, and I felt loved by you. And that's what you're going to hear. So it's like we so overplay. Again, I wouldn't say there's.
We're going to talk about number two.
Yeah.
But number one is, I think we can say that.
Okay.
At least I'll say it, for the most part.
Yeah.
The unchurched community. Now, that doesn't mean that the evangelical community looking for a church.
Right. That's a different
audience.
You're trying to
reach the cool, hip, trendy people who want a cool church to go to.
Yeah.
Well, why are you even doing that? I mean, they're already believers.
Yeah.
Why don't you work after going after the non-believers, right? And the non-believers, I don't think, really care what you. When I went to Little Linwood, three members remaining, in a town of 400. We didn't change the name. It was Linwood Baptist Church for 120 years, and in 120 years, it's managed to offend everybody in town twice. It just has. But you know what? Recently, we baptized 20 people. We've seen a tremendous number of folks in the community come, and it's Linwood Baptist Church because, I don't know, it's a Baptist church in Linwood. I mean, how more simpler do you have to get than that?
Well, there's integrity with that, too.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But I think oftentimes if you think the unchurched people are going to start coming to your church, and if your church has a bad reputation, changing the name does not change the reputation.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, okay, number two, if you do change the name, there must be an overwhelming, compelling reason to do this. And let me just say this real quickly. Because you want to create a new branding is not an overwhelming, compelling reason. Because you want to be considered cool among your peers.
That's right, yeah.
You don't want to be part of a church that's got this name to it. That is not a compelling reason.
Yeah, yeah.
A compelling reason might be if the neighborhood changed. For example, there's a church in Independence, Missouri called Beverly Hills Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. Which seems really strange because I grew up in Independence and there's no similarities. I'm just telling you. But after the Second World War, some developer created a little housing division and he decided to call it Beverly Hills. So they put a church there. Nobody today knows that that neighborhood's called Beverly Hills. So the pastor there, you know, every time he'd say, I'm at Beverly Hills Baptist Church, I'd say, swimming pools and movie stars.
Or who's Beverly?
So finally, a few years ago, they changed it to the Church of Three Trails, because there's three trails in Independence, three like California, Oregon, and Santa Fe. Well, that's obvious. I mean, the idea that, boy, the church was named one place and that has changed, then clearly there's no reason to keep Beverly Hills because it's not Beverly Hills anymore. There are things like that that can change. I know sometimes people say, well, you know, if you have a moral failure, if your pastor gets arrested, you've got some kind of, maybe you need to change the name. A new start. But on the other hand, people know it's still the same building, still the same thing. And, you know, you got to be cautious about that. But what other kind of, can either one of you think of an overwhelming reason to change the name?
Well, here's the reason for not changing it.
All right.
Because what you say here, creating a new brand is not an overwhelming, compelling reason. We have this idea that a new name is a new brand. And there's nothing further from the truth. I come from a marketing and advertising background, and this is really a sensitive spot for me because a brand is not what you want it to be or what you want people to think about you. A brand is what people already think about you. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter if you change your name. If you're already branded, then that's what you need to work on, is what people think about you. And once you start asking people, what is this church like? And they say, oh, that's just the church. That's such a loving church. Now you found a brand.
That's good.
It's not the name.
You know, as our church, just speaking about our church in Inglewood, as we started to grow and the Lord began to revitalize this church, you can imagine it in some ways, you know, there was momentum and excitement and there was a lot of talk of, man, we got to change this Calvary. Like, nobody knows what Calvary is. And, you know, where we live, there's Calvary chapels everywhere from California. And there's quite literally another Calvary Baptist Church, an American Baptist church not far from us. And so there are all these reasons why don't we change it to something catchy and we'll be distinct in Denver. And I just felt so strongly, one, this is our heritage, man. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't my church. It's not your church. This is the story God's been writing at Calvary since 1952. I also think, again, this is where Clifton, you and I are the same. Like, I love seeing broken things redeemed. Yeah. I like seeing, like, man, why sell out on that? Let's be Calvary, man. Let's lean into this. Plus, I go, what better name is there? Like, it's the cross, man. We get to share about Jesus. What's Calvary? Well, let's talk about what Calvary is. So it's all in, as a leader, from a leadership perspective, how you approach it. And I would say, don't apologize for it. Lean into it and make it great and be who you are as a church.
Right. I got a great story along this line. My dad, after he retired, he and mom moved up to Virginia, Richmond, Virginia, and there was a church there. We talked about this, I think, in the last podcast or time before last, whatever, about the churches that were troubled churches in the New Testament. Well, no kidding, he was in New Kent, Virginia. That's the name of the town. The name of the church was Corinthian Baptist Church, or Corinth Baptist
Corinth
Church.
Baptist.
Maybe that's Corinth Baptist Church. And Dad said, why in the world would I want to pastor Corinth Baptist Church? And so he went there and he told him, he said, now tell me about your name. And they said, well, you know, the originating pastor just decided he would come up with a name and everything. Well, it didn't take long before he said, well, you know, well, let's just refer to it as the New Corinth Baptist Church. You know, let's not change the name because that was a big, big deal. He says, but let's just call it, you know, just let people know this is a New Corinth Baptist Church. So now today, it's now known as the New Corinth Baptist Church simply because it's the old church that has been renewed.
Oh, and, of course, there are, especially in rural areas, there are a lot of churches' names that are humorous. We've all been through that. You know, there's more than one church named Little Hope Baptist Church because it's in a community called Little Hope, right? Yeah. We've all been down that road. Yeah. But I think there are some compelling reasons. If the community name has changed, like Beverly Hills change it.
Yep.
If you move locations and you're no longer on 12th Avenue, maybe you change it.
Yep. Could be, like you said, I mean, the reality is it could be that it really does need a fresh start.
It could be.
And, you know, it could be. It just could be a wise move.
And sometimes when they're replanted by another church, that other church gives them their
new identity. Yep.
New identity. But what we just want to say is the unchurched don't care what your church's name is.
Yep.
There must be a compelling reason. And it's not just simply a new brand and a new identity. A new logo does not change the community's perception. As Dan said, their perception of you is what it is.
Yep.
Changing the name, changing the logo doesn't change their perception. It's the way you love them Christ that changes their perception. Number three, the new name may actually cause more confusion in the community than you might anticipate.
Oh, that's the truth.
Man, that is so true. That's
okay, Dan, one's yours.
Oh, listen, here's one of the things that bugs me about churches changing their names at will, and that is you got to remember that church is that community's church. Whether they go to the church or not, that's our church and our community.
Yeah.
And if they change the name, what you're saying is we're not part of you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Especially if the name of the community is in the name of the church.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, First Baptist whatever town, and you change it to something that has no town name in it.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, it's because it immediately.
Oh,
says
I got to be careful, man. I just got in trouble because there are thousands of churches of First Baptist that just changed their name. Some of them I've been an interim in.
I happen to be in one, you know, and it's just like.
And
what
you
were
happened
we
to be in one.
You know, we thought, well, what?
Well, let's just be honest. Yours was First Baptist Raytown, Missouri.
Yeah.
Where Dan teaches a very large Sunday school class there and has been active there. And so First Baptist Raytown, Missouri, for years, Raytown was a suburb of Kansas City, still is. And for years, it was one of the largest churches in the state of Missouri, First Baptist Raytown. And so that was its name for over 100 years, I would imagine. But then recently, they changed the name to...
They decided... I don't know who they is, to be honest with you.
Well, that's another story. But the name was changed.
They voted. They had all this... This is one of the... We had this list of all of these names.
Oh,
what name do you think we should
change?
There was like 20-some-odd names. And people were voting and voting. And the winner is...
Yeah, that's a real...
Connection Point Church.
Okay, let's don't make any remarks about it.
And by the way, it's connectionpoint.tv.
You know? Connection.
And by the way, it's, you know, the church, you know, God's doing things there.
Yeah,
I'm
that's
not
right.
complaining
that's right. yeah,
about that.
Yeah.
But the name was... And I asked several people, I said, did you vote for that name? No, I didn't.
Well,
you know, I don't know.
But the point is, you moved from First Baptist Raytown, which is connected to a community, to something called Connection Point. And obviously what they're trying to do...
This sounds like a dating site.
Stop it. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I think.
Well, the confusion piece.
Kyle's working on his resume. I got to work on my resume after
this.
But
the confusion piece is so real. I mean, I'll just tell you, recently, we had a large church. It's been there for years in Southwest Littleton. That's now changed its name to, we'll just say, Southwest something. Mm-hmm. Southwest. And nobody has a clue what it is.
Yeah.
And it's backfired. In terms of people, you know what I mean? So all that just to say, when I look at this point, you've got to count the cost.
Right.
What really is the cost? And don't just be enthralled with a cool name and logo.
Right, because you are giving something up with that
name. That's right, you are.
You may think, well, we're giving up a bad past, but you're giving up a presence in that community that has been identified for 50 years. And when I went to Warnell Road Baptist Church, full confession here, I changed the name. I changed it to the church at Brookside. I considered Crossroads. You told me one time, Dan, why don't you call it Crossroads?
Yeah, because it is a crossroads.
Because it's at a crossroads. That's very profound.
I thought it was insightful.
I mean, just what a missiologist. And so I said, well, we're in a community called Brookside. Well, let's just call it the church at Brookside, right? So I had a big banner made. We put it over the full-time sign, the big monument sign. and it said Church at Brookside.
Only the at was the at like.
I know the at like was like the at.
Trying to be cool.
In your email.
This was 2005.
I was going to say, yeah.
And it caused all kinds of confusion because people were trying to email us. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. I thought it would be cool. We would be the church at Brookside.
Brookside. Yeah.
So people thought that was our email address. Yeah. It was terribly confused. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I'm so glad you brought that up. Anyway, so I was taking a picture of this Church at Brookside sign and so proud of it. And when I did, in the top of the frame of the picture, above the church, carved in granite, was the words Warnell Road Baptist Church on Warnell Road, which had been there since 1921. Yeah. And the Lord just spoke to me. He really did. And he said, you know, you're an idiot. You can't just reclaim the name.
Wow.
This has been my place. Yep. It is hurting right now. It has a bad reputation. Reclaim the name. And so we took the banner down. We moved back to calling it Warnell Road Baptist Church, which had a terrible reputation among the community and, frankly, among Southern Baptists. It had left the convention years before. It came back in when I became their pastor. But now, you know, 15 years later, there are all kinds of seminary students from Midwestern who are there. There are some faculty who are there. They're reaching people for Christ. They're sending out pastors to go to other places. And that's Warnell Road Baptist Church.
Right, exactly.
God
right,
turned that church around.
Let me ask you something, then, because I've got to ask this question just because it needs to be asked. Should we change – our title today is like, should we change our church's name? Now, here's another one. Should we change our church's name back?
Oh, sometimes change it back. I never thought about that. Maybe.
Yeah.
That could happen.
Because, I mean, you're going to be called – if you're called into a church that's died or is dying and they've already changed their name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, that could be good leadership.
I don't know.
I mean, honestly, that's a good question.
But here's the deal. End of the day, to what degree will changing the name bring more glory to God, or to what degree will reclaiming the name bring more glory to God? Mm-hmm. And what does he want you to do?
Yeah.
And how do you determine that? And so there's no right or wrong answer. Some of you need to change the church's name. But just know this. Changing the church's name will not change the way the community views it.
Yep.
It won't change your people's heart.
Yep.
It won't make the church different. But it may confuse people.
Yep.
And it may upset some of your current members and make it harder to get them to make changes that could be impactful.
Yep.
Just remember all that you're dealing
with
in changing the church's name.
That's right. That's so good.
And by the way, I do know how long eternity is because I saw a church plant that wasn't Southern Baptist, all right? But it was a church plant in our city that unfortunately had their final service 2 years in. Eternity Church closed.
Oh, no.
So, oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
So you name your church Eternity.
Yeah, avoid that one.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine, too, and he won't mind me telling you this, Andy Andrews, and I love him. Good guy. But when we were at Warnell, he planted a church, and he called it the Church of Faith International, Baptist Church, Southern Baptist Church. We call it Church of Faith International because he wanted his people to care about the whole world, you know. Yeah. So, you know, you have you know, 30 people meeting in our church basement, Church of Faith International. So our worship leader asked him, he said, hey, Andy, how come you don't just call it the Church of Faith Galactic and get it over with? So I thought that was you're going to think big.
Man.
All right, guys. That's kind of fun, but we'll put some stuff in the show notes. And we love every church and every name you have. If Jesus calls you to name that church, listen to him. Don't listen to a knucklehead.
Right.
Don't listen to this knucklehead like me. Do what Jesus wants you to do. But think about these things. That's all we're trying to get you to do. All right?
As we wrap things up, just a quick reminder that we would love for you to subscribe if you haven't done so. And not every platform that you listen to the podcast or where you listen to the podcast has that option of subscribing. But if they do, for example, if you're listening on YouTube, there's a place that you can subscribe, and there may be places that you can leave a comment or two. And we would love to hear from you as you listen to the intro and how we close the show out. A lot of times you'll hear our website. You can contact us through the website if you have comments or questions. Kyle Bierman would love to hear your comments and questions. And if they're nice, he might pass them on to us.
He might.
But then again, who knows?
And if you'd like to come and sit on the white couch with us, just go ahead and say, hey, I would like to be a guest in your studio audience.
That's right. Hey, listen, I heard T-shirts might be coming.
It could be.
The ugly, grubby white couch,
that's
man.
That's right. That could happen.
You bet.
It could happen. And we could always use a studio audience. So if you want tickets.
Come on.
That's right. Just do thechurch@brookside.com. Not real. I did do that ampersand sign. I did. And it was so confusing. It was like, even my wife, after the banner was done, she said, is that an email address? I said, no, it's the church at Brookside. She said, that's not how that works anymore.
You're so old school.
I'm so old school.
Captain 90s at that point. Yeah.
All right, bye.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.